You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
Welcome back, your post-Thanksgiving installment. Y'all are probably completely burned out on turkey by now. I know I am, but hopefully you're not burned out on listening to this show. It is the Church of the Lampshade Show, installment number 94. And a lot of times, you know, if you've noticed, if you bother reading the description page, probably don't. You probably just jump right in. I would. I don't blame you. But if you noticed, I've taken to giving a title to each of these shows. And most of the time, the way that works, I roll through the show. And then afterwards, I kind of think of some of the main, you know, kind of one of the main highlights, you know, and I try to fit that in as a title for the show. This is installment number 94. This is different this week because before I even start the show, I know what I'm calling it. The melancholy of Grandpa Lampshade. That's right, I'm feeling melancholy after the Thanksgiving holiday. I'll try not to be too much of a downer, but even yours truly has the right to feel melancholy and kind of just, I don't know, maybe it's the weather. It's drizzly, kind of cold, rainy. It's got me feeling melancholy. Had a bit of feedback on our discussion last week about possibilities of and by the way, if we do call the show something else at some point, I'm going to keep the count going. We're not going to start all over with the count. It would be like if I changed it next week, which I won't be. It would be episode 95. I wouldn't start over because, as I said, the content's not going to change. We're just continuing with what we do. And I've had some good feedback. Some lulzy suggestions, some pretty good suggestions, all the way to suggestions of, you know, what the hell's wrong with you? Leave the name the same. Good night. So, don't know what way we'll go with that. I did have one I really like, Pastor Dan's Church of the Nationalist. It does kind of convey. And really, I mean, like I said last week, one of my concerns is that, like, somebody comes in first time on the network site, you know, and they see the Orthodox Nationalist, or, you know, that pretty much conveys what that's about, the Daily Nationalist, you know, real Britons, whatever the case may be. And then you get to the Church of the Lampshade. I fear that the name doesn't really convey what we even do here. It's hard enough to get people to tune in and devote a little time to see what one of these shows is about. And it might be that much more difficult if the title doesn't even give a hint of what it's about. I don't know. Like I said, I may not even do anything with it. I don't know. It's melancholy. More things to feel melancholy about. But it's always good to get more people listening and, listening into the show so they can not financially support it. Oh, but we do have folks that financially support the show. I was just sitting here thinking about it. Like I say, I'm melancholy. Bear with me. I have to work my way out of it by finding things to laugh about. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, I have a higher percentage chance. I have a higher percentage of people financially, you know, pay their tithes, financially support the show than people that actually die from the doom flu. So we do have that. We do have that going right out of the bat. Let's get to that. By the way, if you do want to be one of the elite few who financially support the show, the information's at the bottom of that description page. We've got snail mail. We've got Bitcoin. If you've got a weirdo cryptocurrency, drop me an email for that. That's down there as well. And, yeah, we'll get you an address for that. Grandpa, this is from Jackie. Probably a bit late for this to help at your Thanksgiving table, but I hope it's a memorable one for all lampshades in this epic year of clown world death flu. All the best till next time, Jackie. Yes, the doom flu. I'm going to tell you what. You know, I was thinking about the doom flu. Can't help but think about the doom flu because that's all we hear about. This is the doom flu. I was out and about doing the Thanksgiving thing myself, as most of you were. And it just dawned on me, you know, I was walking around because, you know, most people wear the muzzles, you know, the muzzle of compliance. must comply. And I think about when I was in school, you know, and even now, if you just turn on the TV because, or pick up, you know, open an internet page with news because you still have to hear about, you know, the Holocaust. Yes. And I was thinking about how, you know, we were shown those pictures of the Jews being, having to be forced to walk around wearing the gold star, and how humiliating it was for him to walk around with a gold star on. And yet I think about, you know, you go to the store now and you see everybody wearing the muzzles of compliance, and it doesn't dawn on anybody how utterly degrading that is. Of course, I don't, you know, they just give me the stink eye. They give me the stink eye because I don't wear the muzzle of compliance, but there they all are walking around like sheep, wearing the muzzle of compliance. At least a few look around, and when they see others that aren't wearing the muzzle of compliance, they'll rip it off, you know, and be like, I'm not wearing this. I don't have to wear this. But many, even if they don't have to wear it, you see them driving around in their cars, the muzzle of compliance on. You know, at least I'm under the impression that the Jews didn't really want to wear the gold star around. I mean, I'll give them that. Apparently, most people today want to wear their muzzles around, so you know they're good people. Mr. T, the USA is already over the cliff, heading to the bottom. Why the hell do folks care who is driving at this point, i.e. the president? What are your thoughts? Well, it's a good point. At this stage, I would say this. If nothing else, the simplistic way to look at it is the open, you know, just out and out blatant communists want him out. So that should be enough to tell us that there's something they're wanting to do that he won't let them. So it would probably, I always say we don't know, because we run on little tidbits, little nuggets of information. So we just have to try to guess. You know, I have no idea. You know, obviously they want to push a full on Bolshevik 2.0 in the West, not just in the US, but, and for whatever reason, they think if Trump's there, they can't do that. So they're going all in on the fraud and whatnot. It's also a great opportunity to engage IRL with normie Trump supporters and see where they're at. And you know, they're worked up. You know, see where they're at. And maybe some eye-opening moments. I don't know. Melancholy this week. You know, maybe it's all pointless. They're all just going to wear their muzzles. Go along. No, we'll miss us. We're in the gulag for COVID denial. I would say, like I say, the Trump thing is, if nothing else, if your enemies are wanting something, it's a good clue that you might want to counter that. It gives something to pour your energy into. But, yeah, I don't know. It's something to consider about. Grandpa Lampshade, this is from Patty. Bitcoin ties on the way. Hope all is well with you and yours. What's your thoughts on church services for non-singers? I mean, I can't hit a note to save your life. There seems such a big emphasis on singing in the churches. No rush, because all the churches are shut anyway. Of course, because of the doom flu, we could all die at any moment. Keeping my spirits up with the anti-lockdown leafleting and the occasional illicit get-together with friends. Ooh, you are truly a bad thinker. How dare you associate with other people. Thanks for the shows, Patty. Yeah, that's something I always hated whenever I'd go to regular churches. You know, there would be like, have you ever, like, basically, I may be different now, I don't know. There would be like a half hour dedicated to it. And once upon a time, many, many, many moons ago, actually before a lot of you were probably even alive, you know, I was attending a regular church, and you know, the preacher was actually pretty good and very informative. But you had like an hour of that. You know, I mean, you get a whole hour of melancholy content here, you know, but I'd go to the regular church and there would be like an hour of content, but half of that was singing. And I'm like you, I got nothing out of that. I'm a pretty good singer in my own right, I think. Maybe I should sing for y'all one of these days. I threaten you. You know, it's like going to a strip club with really ugly women, and you want to give them money to put their clothes on. But like, here's five. Go put your clothes back on, bitch, because no one wants to see that. I could sing here, and y'all could send money for me not to sing any longer. No, it's yeah, I always hated that too, be honest. You know, there's just like you had to have the, and my understanding is in a lot of the churches now it's even worse, you know, because the guys up there in their skinny jeans with their guitars and trying to be hip and cool, and there's Jesus rappers, and why not? What the hell? Why not rap for Jesus? It's all good. Anyway, for those of you who are the statistical equivalent of dying of the COVID, I do appreciate you financially supporting. I told you I'm melancholy this week. Bear with me. I do appreciate it. I really do. If y'all want to be a part of that, you know where to find the information as we continue on rolling through this melancholy installment of the show. By the way, I have no idea what the Christian specific message is going to be this week. Maybe we'll do a, you know, everybody's going to go to hell sort of thing this week. We'll get something. I'm sure we will. Hope you did have a good Thanksgiving, by the way. And I hope you weren't dissuaded from spending time with family, you know, do some illicit get togethers. You know, you got to be an outlaw at some point. Who would have thought that being an outlaw equated to getting together on Thanksgiving? But, you know, here we are. Stand. Put your muzzle on. Muzzle of compliance. Put it on. Don't go anywhere. Stay at home. Doesn't matter how many, you know, pictures you see of your overlords getting together, chuckling it up in a group with no muzzles on, having a good time. It's okay. Some animals are more equal than other animals. Really, though, it is. It's funny, you know, outlaw living. You might, you know, a year, I don't know, in ancient history, like, I don't know, a year ago. if you said, man, in a year from now, you'll be an outlaw. And you might have been picturing, like, you know, you was going to buy a Harley Davidson and be wearing leather and grow your hair out, you know, and, you know, living the outlaw life. Instead, it just meant you get together for Thanksgiving. Planning, what's that? You're planning to have a Christmas this year? Whew. Edgy. Yeah, I tell you, edge lord, you better look out. Put your muscle of compliance on instead. Be a good thinker. I tell you, it's a, I don't know, you know, people, it's just, people are just trying to keep it family friendly, but I, you know, so if you have little ones that listen in, cover their ears for a minute when I say that people are just fucking sheep. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, they're just, there they are. They're all out there wearing their muzzles of compliance. If you want bonus virtue signaling, you put the face shield on too. Maybe throw in an ensemble of your gloves. But these people, they're going to rise up at any minute and cast the yoke off. And it's any minute now, they're going to tear that muzzle off, tear their gloves and their face shield off and say no more. I demand freedom, freedom, because we have the freedoms here in the U.S., in the West. You know, I was having a conversation earlier last week. We were talking about with somebody about, you know, capitalism and communism, and everybody is so still stuck in this either or, and they don't even realize the relationship, you know, because if you tell somebody, like, if you criticize capitalism, you know, in the nationalist context, you, morons, because most people are wearing their masks and they're morons, you know, they think that means that you're against people having a better life and being able to make money and buy a nicer house, which it's not the case. You know, they don't understand, though, that you have to be for big corporations can strip mine the economy, and the billionaires can make a few extra billions every week while everybody else is struggling to get by. Or you have to be for full-on communism. There can't be any other choice. That's the only choices you have. But, you know, it's almost impossible to criticize capitalism in normie circles, because they instantly just trigger, oh, are you some kind of communist? You don't think people should be able to make money? No. You don't think somebody should be able to grow their business? No, that's not what I think. I don't know. I think one of the, you look back and you think of different clown world mileposts, you know, because, like, you go down the highway and there's mileposts, you know, those, that's what those are, by the way, if you didn't know. You see, like, a number 13, that's a milepost. You saw a random sign on the side of the interstate and you're like, what's that little post there with, like, a number 13 on it? No, that's called a milepost. It's how many miles you are from whatever certain, like a state border or something. And I look back at some of the mileposts of Clown World that we zipped by, didn't even notice. One of those being that corporations, the Supreme Court deemed that corporations were actually people. Because, of course, in the free market, corporations have to be people. And so, you know, why shouldn't they be able to buy all of your politicians so that they can, look forward to a great day like today when they strip down the economy and make themselves even richer while everybody else hopes for a few $100 from the government to get by. I saw a stupid thing article the other day. They said that Biden was talking about maybe doing like a national shutdown, and the government, like 3 months. We need a 3 month shutdown, And during that 3 months, the government will just pay everybody's wages. That way it won't affect your life at all. And I was thinking how funny it would be, because after that you might as well laugh at it, because the people are so stupid, they'll go along with it, you know? And I was thinking how funny it would be just after that 3 months is up, when everybody goes, it runs out and everybody goes back to their job to find out that, hey, lo and behold, they're just shocked to discover that with 3 months of zero cash flow, the job they had no longer exists. Hey, but you got paid for 3 months. Didn't have to do a thing. Of course, it would be unfair because some people make more money than other people. So, the poor people wouldn't, the people who are poor, I guess I wouldn't make it would be, we'd have to have a progressive wage scale or something. Well, they dry up the last opportunities to even have a job here in Clown World. You get what you deserve. That's just sit there and laugh. You get what you deserve. All these people, I just picture it, 3 months in. Well, it runs out. I went back to my employer and he's closed the business because he had no cash flow and he was operating on a line of credit. They called in his notes. His business is gone. I would just sit there and laugh. You get what you deserve. But it's true. You try to criticize this so-called capitalist system what we have, and people don't even understand. I don't even understand what you're saying. And I'm just fatigued with trying to break it down for them. When Stalin, because the only counter to communism is capitalism, right? Never mind that when Stalin was killing millions of people, what did America do? What did the West do? Sent soldiers to fight and die to defend him, so he would be able to continue to do that. Sending all these millions of dollars to fund this communist utopia of the Soviet Union when Mao was murdering millions of his own people. No problem. No sanctions necessary there. Now that Russia is pretty much a nationalist country, we have to have sanctions. They're a boogeyman. They don't have the freedoms that we have here. Same with China. China's, now that Mao is gone and China is pretty much a nationalist Han Chinese country, got sanctions. They're boogeyman. They don't have the freedoms. They need more freedoms. They're now a problem. When Mao was killing tens of millions of his own people, no problem. When Stalin was marching across, subjugating Eastern Europe, not an issue. People were being raped to death, slaughtered, their lands, homes, property seized. We should fight a war to defend that. We fought a war. We literally fought a war to defend that. Let that soak in. Forget for a minute. We're talking about World War II. Trying to convince people that maybe, wooden door gas chambers. Maybe that wasn't really a thing. But just think for a fact that no normie can deny is the fact that the United States, Britain, they fought a war to defend Stalin. Because that's what it was. They fought a war, literally fought a war to defend Stalin so that he could murder millions of people and march across Eastern Europe, raping people to death from 8 to 80. Why not? Because, that's what freedom is about. That's how capitalism is a counter to the communism. You wonder why even I feel melancholy sometimes, because people still be like, no, yeah, we have the freedom here. Freedom to do what? Put your muzzle of compliance back on. Maybe they'll let you go shop at Walmart. Can't go shop at a small business because that's more dangerous. One more absurd things, isn't it, is this whole thing where you have to close. We'll let you stay open, but you have to close by this time because the doom flu lurks around after dark. It's also utterly absurd. It is just like they try to find a new level of absurdity. And in a way, it's kind of sadistically funny now that you think about it. You know, let's come up with something even more absurd and watch how these morons just go along with it. It's just this, just like they're just poking it. And the idiots are just like, sure, I'll comply. I'm going to walk around in the woods by myself and wear my muscle of compliance because of the doom flu. Why not? It's it is. It's funny in kind of a dark humor sort of way. There's no room for truth anymore in clown world. I think of stories like with like somebody surviving in the woods, or maybe they're in a prison camp, like, you know. Somebody discovers the 6 million, and you know, you go up and somebody's like, you know, in a desperate situation where all they've been able to eat is just like rice, you know, just that's it. It's all you get, a little ration of rice, you know, and you show up and discover these people, and like, you could like if you give them real food, like, here's a steak, you know, and they eat that and they'll throw it up because they just can't tolerate it. They're so used to being fed a steady diet of something like rice or just, you know, a bread crust a day or whatever. And I think we're at the point now, it's that way with the truth. You know, people in this country and in the West in general, people live on a steady diet of bullshit. I was going to say lies, but sometimes it's just not colorful enough. People live, they're spoon-fed bullshit every single day. Lies. The media just lies, period. They don't even attempt anymore. They don't even pretend anymore. They don't even care. It's just like, let's report something completely made up. Who gives a shit? They don't care. People are living on a steady diet of lies and bullshit. So that when you show up and you say, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Look at these people. They're starving. They look horrible. They're walking around with muzzles on for no reason. Here's a steak of truth. And they just throw it up, usually all over you. They throw it up all over you because they just can't tolerate it. Please give me some more lies. I'm used to living on lies. Just give me a bigger bowl of lies. I can live off a bigger bowl of lies. But if you give me the steak of truth, I'm going to puke it all over you. Probably attack you because you made me sick. How dare you make me sick? How dare you make me feel bad with your truths? Some parts of this country, the government is literally telling their people to snitch out their neighbors if they're not complying with the doom flu restrictions. They have programs, official programs. Snitch your neighbors out. Snitch on your neighbors if they're not complying with the doom flu. And who's doing that? White people. The blacks aren't doing that. Do you think blacks won't snitch on blacks that, like, kill somebody? White people are going to be over there calling the 800 number, turning your ass in because you're not wearing your muzzle and you have too many people in your freaking house. Snitch your neighbors out. But we have all these freedoms. And they still have the nerve to promote that. We have to promote the democracy around the world because people in country X do not have the freedoms that we have. Think of, go by and you still see some stupid ass normie with his sign in front of his business that's shut down because of the doom flu. And it says, if you enjoy your freedoms, think of that. What freedoms? Freedom to wear your muzzle? Freedom to snitch out your neighbor to the authorities because they might have too many people at their house. Who does that? Who does that? White people do that. Blacks aren't going to be snitching out their neighbors. Mexicans aren't going to be snitching out their neighbors. Oh, look over there, Jose. He got all his kinfolk over there at his house. They could be getting the doom flu. I'm going to call in to the police. That's absurd. Of course they don't. White people do. White people be snitching you out, having a get-together. In violation, you could be killing everybody by breathing. Put your mask on. Don't have anybody over. Stay isolated. It'd be funny if I opened like a, you know, just went and got like a little building and opened an actual like church building, local church building, you know, started holding services, lure normies in. start laying some truth on them. Then they could throw up all over me. They could throw up all over me, turn me into the authorities because I'm not requiring mask wearing. How dare you? We want lies. I came in here to feel good. Came in here for a feel good message. And instead you handed me this. Threw it up all over you. I'm going to turn you in. I don't know. You know, it's just... It's a melancholy show this week, folks. Hopefully you're still having some fun. I am. I'm actually feeling better as I go along and just spread my melancholy to all of you, the listeners, this week. Have you ever explained to somebody that I think it's the Simon Wiesenthal Center for the Holocaust? They say, you know, their official position is that, you know, the lampshades didn't exist. It was what the Nazis did to scare the Jews. We'll turn you into a lampshade. That narrative changed, by the way, over the years, if you're old enough to remember. But according to the Simon Wiesenthal Center, there were no human skin lampshades. And people argue with you. Have you ever had that happen? I've had that happen. Well, they're wrong. It absolutely happened. They were turned into lampshades. And they're like, no, but it's the Simon Wiesenthal Center. This is an actual organization to promote the Holocaust, and they say it didn't happen. You're wrong. I saw it on a film. There was a shrunken head there on the table. Now shut up. Put your muzzle on. Comply. We have freedom here. I've pointed this out before, but it's just so, as a Christian believer, it's just so, I don't know, it's just so illustrating for me. Because, like, if you read, when you read different stories in, you know, different accounts in the Old Testament about when God would judge a nation, you know, it's like you can make like a bullet point presentation. You could make like a draft, like a checklist of everything to do. Like if you intentionally wanted God to judge a nation, and we're not in the Christian specific segment, by the way, yet, but it just, as a Christian believer, it's funny because you look at it, it's like a checklist, you know, and because there were these certain things that just had to happen that would just piss God off to the point where a nation would get trounced, put under. And you know, it's like America, it's like the West in general has just gone down that, just like, oh, got that one, check, got that one. The poor are oppressed, justice is denied, bribes are taken, utter corruption at the top. It just on and on down, you know, every sort of idolatry, every sort of degeneracy is promoted. You know, you just go down, check, 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 check. I just picture it, you know, and then you have the nerve, you have these people go around, maybe they're talking about God bless America. It's just insulting. It's just, they're insulting. I picture God laughing and being like, no, you get what you deserve. You get what you deserve. You checked off the checklist. I told you, if you do all of these things, it won't end well. God bless America. Why? I can't even, they never give you a reason. The whole God bless America crowd, red, white, and blue, wave the flag. They never give you a reason why he would do that. Why would God bless America? I don't know. Because we have the freedom. We have the freedom. I don't have the free. We have the freedoms that other people don't have. You filled out the checklist, though. Why do you think he's got to do that? He's not. I think it's funny in a way that he's not. I don't think it's funny because, you know, I don't agree with the checklist. I've tried to live my life, as most of you have, you know, not checking off the checklist. And yet I'm stuck on this boat with all of these stupid assholes. And they're all just going to sink the boat. They're all out there in the middle of a thunderstorm hoisting the giant lightning rod going, I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to zap us all. And you know, like, I'm standing in the water with you and I can't get out. I have nowhere to go. I'm on the boat. On the boat. So that part's not funny. That part's not really funny. We're stuck in here with all of these dumbasses as they just keep rocking along. I don't know, you know, it's, but alas, the people are sheep, and the shepherds have forsaken them. They have new shepherds now, shepherds that tell them, do all these things, this will make you feel good, do indulge in all of this degeneracy, it'll be all right, you're a great person. Say the magic words. Jesus will love you anyway. Doesn't matter. Just go right along with the world. Don't come up out of the world. Just indulge with it. Don't be controversial. Forget the truth. Embrace the lie. They have new shepherds now. And you show up with the truth. You show up and try to tell people the way things are. They don't appreciate it. How dare you? Are people in positions of authority, from my preacher all the way up to those in government, the politicians, they tell me this is correct thinking. You're an outlier. You're an outcast. You don't fit in. You're not one of us. I guess you could wear that as a badge of honor. But still, you try to reach the sheep. They don't want to hear it. They don't appreciate it. They were going to go snitch you out. They'll snitch you out because you have too many people at your house and you're not wearing your muzzle of compliance. It sometimes seems like a complete exercise in futility. The truth holds no value in a society filled with lies. Isn't it funny? This message, it's not funny, I mean, but it is kind of funny. The message of this society is one that your value is strictly based on any kind of celebrity status you have, or, but more directly, shall we say, you know, how much money you have, you know, how much worth you have, you know, and if you have a lot of money, then you must have more value as a human being. Family doesn't have any value anymore in this clown world society. How you live your life as an upright person has zero. In fact, you're a sucker. If you live as an upright person and you're not getting yours and getting the money, you have zero value as a person. You're a sucker. That is the message of this corrupt society that we live in today. You see all these people, and it's like they're a celebrity. And you're like, well, what did they do? I don't know. Suddenly they're just presented as a celebrity and they have money. So they must be smarter than you. And we can laugh at this because it's so stupid. But yet, if you go on any kind of normie social media, you see people and they're mimicking these folks. You know, you've got these folks and it's like, oh, here's this family. And they're as degenerate as absolutely possible. And look, they must be better people than you because they have money and they have been deemed by your overlords to be celebrities. And you'll see people on any sort of normie social media, primarily women, and they will be sitting there trying to imitate these just degenerate wrecks of human beings. They're trying to mimic them. It's not like there's not people who live an upright life or try to live an upright life in the world or around them. They don't. Those are suckers. They're up there just shaking a jig, trying to dance the same dance that the degenerates do, because that's what gives their lives value. That's what gives them value is existing as a human being. Is I have to have some sort of celebrity status. I have to have money. I have to be like these people. They're rich, so they must be smarter than me. I mean, dance around and act just like them. Maybe somebody will pick me up off of TikTok or Facebook and Instagram, and I'll suddenly be Instagram. She's an Instagram celebrity. Who is this? Who's this slut? She's on Instagram. You'll see some random ass news story and it'll be like, Instagram celebrity. And you're like, who is this random slut? Why is she a celebrity? She takes pictures of herself in the mirror in her underwear. You get what you deserve. Golly. I mean, it never ends. You know? Those who try to live an upright life, those who try to speak the truth, are suckers. You got to dance around on the Instagram, on the TikTok. So it'll give you, if you dance like a monkey long enough, maybe somebody will pick you out of the crowd and you'll get deemed celebrity of the week and you'll mysteriously be wealthy and people look up to you and they'll start dancing to the tune you're dancing to. Of course, the dance you're dancing is the same dance that all the other degenerates that were celebrities last week are dancing. It's a clown world society we live in. This is why I've never made it a secret, you know, because you'll have people know, make, you know, a lot of people, probably some of you listening, no doubt, you know, and the people make these grand statements about, I want to do all of this great thing because of this love I have for my people. And I've never been like that. I've never said that. my loyalty, I guess you would say, my affinity is for the truth. Because the people by and large are dumbasses. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not really, I don't have this urge to stick my neck out there for a bunch of dumbasses. You know, it is for the truth. I love the truth. I do. I'm so sick of the lies. I see these people living off of this rotten bowl of lies. This is what they feed on day in, day out. And it's disgusting. I just can't imagine it. You know, the truth is so much more refreshing. It's not popular. It's hated in this world. But it's the steak compared to the bowl of maggot-infested rice. And yet people throw up all over you when you try to feed them the steak. But the steak is what I love. The steak of the truth is what I love. I've never claimed to have some sort of like high and mighty love for my people, because by and large, my people are dumbasses. I can't feel it. My people are dancing like monkeys on TikTok, Instagram. Maybe I'll be slut of the week and I'll suddenly be famous and then I'll have value. I have value as a human being. The show is really a downer. I'm spreading the melancholy faster than the doom flu at a family gathering of maskless people. Anyway, okay, let's get into the Christian specific segment. I'll spread some melancholy here as well. We're going to end on an upbeat note, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But we are going to start that. If you don't want to hang around for it, get the hell out. But maybe you'll get something out of it. The rest of you fill those pews. You know what we're doing here. Check. I think I still have enough coffee maybe to get through the Christian specific segment this week. So let's get to it here. And we're going to do some getting back to doing a little scripture reading here. And we're going to start off this week. We're going to do 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through, I think we'll do 9 through around 13. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. You see, even the apostles got melancholy. I feel a little better already, knowing that the apostles had melancholy days too. So I'm not the only one. This is normal. So if you're feeling that way, turn that frown upside down. You're not alone. So let's start over. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. For ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, and we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Nothing new under the sun, is there? If you go just strictly by the world's standards, we are absolute fools. Why do we even go through this? Why do we bother speaking the truth, doing this work? For those of you who are Christian believers, God has set this before you to hold to the truth, to do these things, to continue to do this work as best you can. But nobody appreciates it. I mean, the world isn't going to suddenly, you're going to wake up tomorrow and the world loves you because you held to the truth, while they were all eating their maggot-infested bowl of rice of lies and saying it was just so savory. By the world's standards of wealth and degenerate celebrity standards, we're fools. If you were dancing, if you got picked dancing around like a slut on TikTok, you have celebrity status, you have money. Those of us who hold to the truth, those of you who hold to the truth over the lies and try to stand for what is right, who try to stand for what is upright, who try to stand for the natural order, for what God himself has established, you're fools. Your value, you know, as this society deems it, based on how well you're doing, what kind of celebrity status you've been handed, what sort of money you have, you're just fools. You're doing all of this and you're not coming out on it. not doing well for it. The world thinks you're utterly fools, and it is foolishness to the world, for they cannot grasp nor understand it. The notion that the modern church puts out, like, there's this attitude, and there's this attitude among the people. It's the same attitude reflected when they say, oh, well, God will bless America because it's still the most Christian nation on earth in name only. If all these Christian churches, what? Dude, here's our lesbian bishop going to stand up here and give us a speech this week about how we need to be more tolerant. They just regurgitate the exact same talking points of the communists of this world. But it's Christian because they have the name. There's Christian as the nation of Israel is the Israel of the Bible because they have the name. You see the reflection there. You have these these evangelical cucks that, you know, God bless Israel. And I've seen them fly the Israeli flag outside their churches. And they say, well, because, you know, it's Israel. And I read in the Old Testament. They have the name. I always laugh. I say, if I owned a big ranch and I named my ranch Israel, would that make me the Israel of the Old Testament? But because the nation of Israel that exists now has that name, they think it's the same thing. And this is reflected in the Christian church. They call it Christian. They call it a church. So it's Christian. It's never mind. They have a lesbian bishop giving a speech this week about being more tolerant and, you know, going right along with the talking points of the communists. They have the name Christian in it. So this must be what God wants. Let's go ahead and get a second scripture reading in. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 44 through 45. And I will punish Bel and Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Come ye out of her. Come from the midst of them. We see this relayed several different places. Come up out of her. Come out of the midst of them. But where do you go? How do you come up out of them? If we could secede, that would be a good way, wouldn't it? I'm big on the idea of secession. Don't know if it'll happen or not. I don't see a bunch of people walking around with their muzzles on suddenly rising up and demanding secession. I don't see that as remotely realistic. And yet, are we commanded to come up out of her? Come up out of Babylon, this whore that we live in. Babylon. How do you come up out of it? How do you come up out of it when you have nowhere to go? I sometimes think, as hard as it was back in the old days when people could move to the old West, you know, the unsettled lands. Of course, they faced Indians and it was hard and you might starve to death. And it was this horrible tribe, but they could get away. You know, when people were in, say, in the South, if you were living in the South and you looked and you could tell that the war was not going well and you were going to be conquered by the North, you know, you could just pack your stuff up and go out West. You had a place to flee to. You had a place to come up out of it. Where do we go? There is no way to go. So how do you come up out of it? You have to separate yourselves. And this is where how you live your life. This all comes full circle back to don't gorge yourself on the bowl of maggot-infested rice, which is the lies that they all live on. This is why you have to go through here and hold to the truth, even though everybody else rejects it. This is how you come up out of them. This is how you come up out of her. This is the way you come up out from amidst them that God's wrath is against. Doesn't mean we're not going to get swept along with it, I suppose. We're still stuck in here. We don't have anywhere to literally get away from it. But we come up out of it by the way we live. This is how you come up out of it. You just hold as fast to the truth you can. You hold to the ways of the Lord you can. You hold as steadfast as you can to the natural order, to that which God has established, to hold his name up as holy, so that you might come up out of them. And you are. And this is what makes it hard. Because when you come up out of them and yet you're still living technically, physically in the midst of them, you are socially ostracized. You are looked upon. What does it feel like to come up out of them? Go into a business, go into a place where everybody is complying with their muzzle masks, their muzzles of compliance, and don't wear yours and feel the stares at you. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like to come up out of them. It isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. This is why the fellowship we have, even if it's here on this humble show, is so important, so that you understand that you're not just out there by yourself, isolated, because we crave as human beings this fellowship to know that we're social creatures. We want to know that we're not, but you will be socially ostracized. This is what it means to come up out of it. You can't flee to the old West. Well, I'm just going to build me a cabin up here in Montana and piss on it. Sometimes I wish I could do that. I'd just go and, you know, if I could, I often think I would go live in Alaska, so I would be at least isolated as the continental clown show burns itself up. But I hate cold weather. I hate cold weather. I don't do cold weather at all. I would never survive. I just can't. Can't do it. But no, we don't have a way to physically come up out of it. So you have to come up out of it. You have to be willing to come up out of it. Come up out from the midst of them by how you live your life, how you keep your heart, where you keep your focus. And make no mistake, they will constantly be trying to get you to, they'll be constantly trying to take their little wooden spoon and shove the maggot-filled rice down your throat and convince you that it's good. But once you hold to the truth, once you have savored the steak of the truth, you cannot. It's just, you can't. It's like, I can't pretend. Have you ever thought about, you know, just forsaking the truth? Just hypothetically. Consider for a moment. Just imagine for a moment forsaking the truth. Now you know the truth and you've savored the taste of the truth. Just throw it all away. Throw it away and go along with the world. Just throw the steak away and thank them for their bowl full of maggot-infested lye rice. And you'll just go along with them. You'll know in your heart. You would always know in your heart that it wasn't true, that it was you're eating a bowl of total shit. But you could at least fit in. You could at least fit in. Just go along. Just go along with everybody else. Laugh at the stupid slut videos on Instagram and say, yes, that's truly enlightening. I see this bitch dancing around. Oh, look, she just slung her tampon at the camera. This is great. Let's click that like button. I'm going to subscribe. They definitely deserve celebrity status and wealth and fame. You would know as a lot, but can you imagine it? No, I can't. I mean, I guess it would be easier in that you wouldn't be socially ostracized. You just go along with what everybody else is doing. And maybe you wouldn't be quite so socially ostracized, but you would because you would never truly fit in. You would look around you and they're gobbling the rice, the maggot-infested rice of lies down. They're just, oh, yes. And you're sitting there like, oh, God. This is basically a bowl of shit. I have to pretend this is good. I have to say, yeah, isn't it good? You're loving it, aren't you? It's great. Hit the like button. Yeah. It's good. How would you do that? You can't. Not really. I mean, you can try to fake it, I guess. But in the end, you would know it's all a lie. Holding to the truth will bring you up out from amongst them, because they will be basically kicking you out. In other words, if you're socially ostracized, if you're basically not welcome in polite society, you have come up out from among them. You may be living among them in the town you live in or whatever the case may be, but you're not welcome in polite company. They know you're a bad, bad thinker. You will become out from them because you will be out from among them, whether you like it or not, because they're going to kick you out from among them. Those of you who are still enjoying shitposting anonymously on the internet, if you ever get doxxed, you'll get a firsthand taste of coming out from among them, of being socially ostracized as you lose your job, as people you thought were friends, you know, suddenly don't know who you are. You know, people, if they're in the store with you, give you the stink eye out of the corner of their eye because you're that bad thinker. You're like the opposite. See, if you're doing slut videos on Instagram and showing your tits, you would be a celebrity deserving of money. But because you're a truth teller and you say these truths, you're a bad person and you're to be shunned. They will look at it. This is where we're at. If you're a truth teller, they will look at you as though there is something wrong with you. They look at you as you were a leper back in the old days. It's a leper. Get him out of town. But the more degenerate you are, the more you celebrate the lie and the degeneracy, the more celebrity status you have. Hell, if you do it well enough, you might even be rich. How do I come up out of them, Reverend Lampshade? Don't worry. Hold to the truth. You will come out of them. It's like, how do I get the oil separated from the water? Dump it in. Don't worry. It will be separated from the water. If you hold to the truth, if you hold to what is right, if you hold to God, you're going to come up out of them. Don't worry. It's not going to take a lot of effort on your part. Well, it will because you've got to do it. But once you do that, don't worry. The coming up out of them will take care of itself. The oil will not mix with the water. The water's going to kick your ass out. This society that lives and feasts and feeds and savors the flavor of the lie, they're going to kick your ass out. You will come up out of them. Don't worry. They'll see to that. They cannot tolerate it. There's no truth in them. They're just like their father, the devil. No truth in them. They love the lie. Once you stand up for truth, your ass will be separated because they won't have you. You will come up out of them. Because they're going to expel you. Even, I mean, you still live in the same house, you still live in the same town, but you'll not be welcome in polite company. You dare not go down and apply for another job after you've been fired because everybody knows you're a bad thinker. And even on the off chance that somebody doesn't know that you're a bad thinker, they soon will. And then what? You're back to square one. You will come up out of them. It's not necessarily going to be fun either. By the way, doxing, I was sitting here thinking I had to actually stop for a minute and go get me some fresh coffee. Doxing is, I could foresee doxing becoming like obsolete, really, because you're all going to be self-doxing when you don't wear your muscle of compliance. They're already going to know you're not wearing the badge. You're not wearing the muscle. You've already doxed yourself as a bad thinker. As somebody who's been through this, as many others, I'm not special. It's funny, though, you will have people that aren't in that situation, and they'll, like, shit-talk you, well, you ought to do this. Well, what's wrong with you? You should do... You're not doing it right. Yeah. And those same people, probably when they go to town, they put their muzzle on so they don't stand out. They want to fit in. They want to criticize you because somehow you're just not doing it right. And then they go to town and put their muzzle on. Oh, but they're going to tell you hella shit about how they'll do this and they'll do that. And they better not ever try that with me. Where you headed? I got to go to the store. Got my muzzle. Got it here in my hand. Don't want to stand out. Don't want to stand out. Don't want them to know. Won't come up out of them. Oh, I'm not telling you got to go around dox yourself, by the way. It's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that at some point, whether it's just simply not wearing the muzzle of compliance or simply speaking the truth, no matter what the topic, I'm not telling you got to go around and try to inform people about the Holocaust everywhere you go. The truth is the truth no matter what the topic. We've entered into the level of absurdity now that any sort of truth, if it runs counter to the lie narrative of the day, is enough to deem you a bad thinker. And you're going to be expelled from polite society. This frightens people. It really does. It frightens people to no end. God said, come up out of her. And people are scared to death. Because it means being socially ostracized. I think that I just said it a few minutes ago, but it just bears repeating. We are social animals. We can't change who we are. That's who we are. We are social animals. We want to know. There's nothing more discouraging than to feel isolated and alone. It's one of the things they do to you. They want you to feel isolated and alone because you're an easy target then. one of the things that's so important about what we do here. There is something here. Is this show supposed to be fun? It's supposed to be entertaining. Probably wasn't that fun for you today because, you know, I've been melancholy all day. But one of the important things this show does, I really believe this, is to let you know that you're not. You know, yes, you're socially ostracized from polite society, but you're not alone. I mean, you're not the only one who has come up out of this whore of Babylon. There are others out here. I mean, they may not be in your town. And it may not be at your neighbors. They may not be the people at your work. But there are others out here. I mean, you're not all by yourself. And I think just knowing that is important for people. You come up out of them, out from among them, simply by holding to the truth. It's really that simple. You don't have to pack your things and move somewhere. Where the hell would you move? Where in America is not paused? I mean, I guess there are some areas that are less globo homo than others. Obviously, if you're living in the middle of if you're living in a little rural town in, I don't know, Nevada or Wyoming or somewhere, and versus New York City or L.A., I mean, yeah, it's less paused, but it's not, you can't escape it. You're going to turn on the TV and the pause will be in your face. And even in those rural areas, in the end of the day, you're supposed to be polite. You're supposed to go along with the lie of the day. Even these people, they will go along with a lie. Go to any regular mainstream church where they have a nice fancy building because people pay their tithes to hear the lie. And you're going to see that if you hold to the truth in those places, you will be ostracized. You're not going to be welcome there. This isn't a recommendation from God. I recommend you come up out of them because I'm fixing to drop that lightning bolt on all of their multitude of stupid, dumb asses and wipe them out. I shouldn't say it like that. Luckily for me, I do believe God has a sense of humor. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Hey, you might want to come out among them from among them because they're bringing disaster and calamity upon themselves. You don't want to be a part of that. It's not a suggestion. It is a mandate. And it will happen. That's the thing. It's not something you have to consciously do. If you hold to the truth, it's going to happen. And it is a reassurance that you are doing things right, by the way. Christ went around offending people all of the time. Why? With the truth. He just spoke the truth, but he was offensive. He was like the most offensive guy of the day. Everybody's scared to rock the boat. Everybody's afraid to speak up and say anything that could be offensive in polite company. And that's what Jesus did all the time. You know, the church today has invented this, you know, hippie Jesus that loves everybody and just tries to get along with everybody. But real Jesus did the opposite. He went around being offensive all the time. He went around constantly rocking the boat. And we know how that turned out. Same with the early church, the apostles. They were constantly, they would have to run from one town to the next. They would get literally run out of town. You know, they weren't having to, the apostles need to come up out of them. No problem, because the whole town is up in arms and they're going to run them out on a rail. They come up out of them, no problem. Why? Because they spoke the truth. They came up out of them, all right. They weren't fleeing to a distant land, hide somewhere. And that was, it's amazing. That's what people get in their head. Come up out of them. They picture, okay, I'm going to go live in the woods by myself and hide. Then they'll never know I existed. Ha! I came up out of them. Now I just wait. The apostles came up out of them. Why? Because they were run out of town. Run out of town on a rail. They'd have tarred and feathered them if they had tarred and feathers back then. They were run out of town. They came up out of them at the end of a pitchfork. Get out. Get out of here. You're not welcome here. You're not one of us. So don't worry. If you're a truth speaker, if you hold to the truth, you will be coming up out of them. Don't worry. That part will take care of itself. That part is automatic. The coming up out of them you're going to have to consciously do. Just hold to the truth. Just speak the truth. You're going to come up out of them. They're going to see to that. And yeah, looks like we're actually going to, this is a rare occasion, we're actually going to wind up wrapping the show up in the amount of allotted time that we're supposed to have. It's amazing. I do hope you got something out of the show, and I do apologize for being a melancholy show. I'm just entitled. I'm entitled to feel melancholy once in a while. But yeah, I hope you still got something out of the show. Even being melancholy, we do attempt to reach for, strive, talk about, discuss, think about the truth. We'll probably be a little more upbeat next week. But yeah, hopefully, like I say, I do hope you get something out of the show. That's the whole point of doing it. Otherwise, I just wouldn't bother. But I hope you do get something out of it. We're going to wrap up on that note. Thank you once again, those who choose to financially support the show, care enough to do that. And I do appreciate all of you for stopping by and listening. And we'll be back next week right here for the Church of the Lampshade.